Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. This is your host, Maureen Spielman, and today I'm with Andrea Markasich. Andrea, you are a beloved colleague of mine. I think we've sat in virtual classrooms together for, gosh, I'm losing count of the years now, 3 or 4 years, it seems like, in Susie Lula's spiritual psychology. And although we were many miles away, I'm in the US, you're in Canada, it is like nothing. There is no time and space when we share either virtual space together or anything. It's just that there's just no distance between us. And at the same time, I look forward to meeting you in person. So welcome.
Yeah. Definitely. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm so excited. And you know, I've been wanting to have this conversation for a while, and I think I probably even mentioned it, gosh, easily a year ago. And I keep on realizing that there is a divine timing about when people actually come together to do something like this and bring our energy together. So the time is now. Where I'll start today, and then if you want to go in a different direction, please do. But I love the work that, of course, we know each other and we practice our self-care, soul care, you know, really this investment and commitment to ourselves and our inner worlds. We do that, but I want to start with today, your work around your company, Inspirational Walls. And I'll just use that as like a cornerstone, a foundation to begin the conversation. But if you want to dive in there and share with the audience, what is your company and what is your mission and what are you up to?
Yeah, my mission is kind of changing right now. But so what I do is I do designs in schools, and now it's becoming designs in homes and things like that as well. But I started this business when I was 7 months pregnant with my third born son. And I started it really because as a mother and a woman, I wanted my own bank account and I wanted my own power. Like if I wanted to go buy a sweater or have say with the finances. And I felt like I needed that, like a little bit of control in order to be able to have that. And I wanted to be able to go on field trips. So I wanted this idea of running my own business was kind of like I can be a stay-at-home mom and also generate an income that fit around my family. So now my kids are like 26, 23, 20, and 16. The why has expired. The reason I started this business was to like have that time with them, pick them up after school. And they're obviously, they don't need me like they did before. So I went through this period where I thought, well, the business is now done because there wasn't enough passion or interest for me. So I was actually trying to exit the business for quite a while.
Wow. And I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, to be honest, I was kind of resenting it because I thought when your why expires on something, there's like a resignation. So then it became more of a duty to do this work. And I would be told all the time because a lot of the work is really inspiring in schools. So people would say, oh, you're making such a difference. And I get that, but I wasn't feeling like aligned anymore with what I was doing. And I don't know. I guess through all this soul care work, I started to realize like our inner voice really matters and what we're saying to ourselves really matters. And these words start so young that all of a sudden I was like, instead of doing custom work in schools, I kind of pivoted my business to start doing what if I could change kids' narrative by putting things on the wall that they're looking at constantly, affirmations. And I just started to make lists of like, what would I have needed to hear when I was in school feeling insecure, feeling shy. I was a really shy kid. I judged my shyness. So all the affirmations I'm making are like around wanting kids to just feel enough as they are.
Wow, that's amazing. And it sounds like to me earlier the first iteration of Inspirational Walls was feels like it wasn't infused with as much soul as it is now, and that maybe it was a job, and like you're saying, like it was driven by a need to or a desire to sustain yourself financially, which is beautiful too. Like what a beautiful thing, because so many of us, I think, who stay home lose that part of ourselves. And I can say that now. And you know, we know every part of our life is exactly as it should be. Yet, you know, sometimes I find myself thinking about the younger mother going through her mothering parenting journey, and I gave it all up. And you know, there were parts of me that were like, oh my gosh, I just sacrificed a big part of myself. So it's a complex process, and everyone has their own path with it. But I love that, you know, even though that expired, like you said, that was the original drive that got this off the ground. And so, did you quiet it for a while as it was kind of alchemizing into something new, or did it just lacked the passion at the time?
If I'm being honest, I started to like blame my husband because it was growing. He now runs a similar business, right? So I'm like, you're making me do this now. And I projected all this onto him. He was so supportive. He would say to me, like, work less, do whatever, but just I want you to be happy. When you're unhappy, it's not nice around here, And so for a while, there were times when I took a break. There was times then that I'd want control because I'd hear, oh, no, I need to be involved in that project. So I'd get back in. But there were years where I was not sure. And even when I went through soul care, I thought, okay, maybe I'm going to pivot and become a coach. And but I'm creatively, I love visual creativity. So I kept on being kind of pulled in that direction. Actually, if we could talk about my book for a second, because this kind of ties into it. But one day I was talking to Nandi, who you know, and I said, like, I just want to shut it down. And at the time I was like building a store, but I didn't really know how I was going to do it. And I turned off my Shopify store. And I was like, this weight went off my shoulders. I was like, oh, this is what I wanted. And I went in the bath with my journal and I actually sat down, like got in the bath and I wrote and I was like, my identity has become a business owner. Who am I if I don't have this business? Like the such a common answer question, what do you do? It's not what do you like to do? It's like, what do you do? What do you do for a living? And I had become like almost married to this business. It was very hard to break away from it. But when I shut it down that night and I felt powerful, and then I went in the journaling, I wrote this thing and I was like, could I be enough? Could I be enough without this? Like, can I love myself unconditionally without this thing that's defined me for so long? And I've gotten so many compliments about it. And I was like emotional and I was writing and I felt this like, I don't know, like a freedom. And it turned into my book. That journal entry was actually, wait a minute. So what if I could be, what if everybody's feeling this way? What if I've been driven since I was a kid to just keep doing things because I wanted to be enough, right? What if I came from an energy of I am enough and I don't need to do anything, but what would I like to do? And that's when the real energy go. So I turned my website back on and I got really energized about it. And that's really where it came from.
I love that because, you know, we talk a lot about just the universe supporting our process and this idea that it's just like everything. Like, look how pristine that what you needed to turn off the Shopify in
I
order to
know.
understand something deeper within you. And then you came to the answer. And isn't that interesting? The thing that we vilify or make wrong or bad, or as the reason we're feeling the way we feel, may not actually be the thing. But then you kind of took it to like the underlying question, can I feel enough? Am I enough without this identification? And then, yeah, and it's interesting too, because we're having this conversation about, you know, what this business has meant to you over these years. And it's like one of these teachers in life, right? And at the same time, tomorrow you can make another decision. You've changed these paths, yeah. And like giving ourselves permission, if that works for our lives, you know, if we can afford to do that. But it reminds me of what you're saying is like, your investment in your business and the creation of it is almost like equal in some way to like how we go get these master's degrees. Or, you know, I have a master's in speech pathology, and gosh dang it, like giving that up, I paid for that membership, which was like $250 a year to the governing body for 20 years. And I just gave it up. And so interesting, I think it was, what are we in, May of 25? I probably gave it up in the fall of 23, so a year and a half ago, let's say. And there have been times where I'm like, God dang it, you could still be a speech pathologist. What are you doing? They're needed everywhere. And then I remind myself, like, Maureen, that part of you, it was just kind of dying off. It's okay. You can bless that phase of your life. But I just want to say, you know, that was my road. And that voice will pop up as I'm doing the coaching world, that's sometimes like, getting it off the ground, right? Yeah. But I knew that wasn't my path. But that's a lot to say, you know, your business has been your teacher and your PhD level degree in some way and so many beautiful things. But yeah, like anything with that reflection before I want to talk about the book, but anything that's coming to mind?
Well, yeah, I also love Michael Singer and I listen to a lot of his courses. And one thing that would sit with me a lot is, anything you don't like, great, lean into it. It's a spiritual experience. There's something there for you. And I'd be like, there's nothing here for me. Like, how is this spiritual? I'm resisting. I want to leave this business. Like, so I get it. Like, it actually feels like, oh my gosh, I'm not saying we don't complete things. I think that's an amazing thing too. But I have a really young memory of being with my dad at a place in Toronto when I saw, you know, a caricature that draws like a cartoon of a person. So he was sitting there and he looked content. He had a music playing and he was drawing a little kid. And I went up to my dad and I said, when I grow up, I want to be like that. I want to do that. And my dad, I remember him looking really concerned and he kind of crouched down. He's like, Andrea, that man probably took the subway here and he's probably renting an apartment. He doesn't own his own house. And I didn't understand any of that because I was like 7 or 6 maybe. But I thought, oh, art is not good. So it was also my relationship to art. Like, I looked down on it. I looked at it like it was wasn't like, oh, you're an artist. It was like, oh, that's more like a hobby. That's not a career. So it, through this soul care work, even realizing creativity comes in engineering, it comes in gardening, it comes in art. Like, creativity is in every, you think out of the box, you're being creative. And I just happen to be in a visual, I like pretty things, you know? And so it's like I've accepted a part of me that for the longest time was like, I shouldn't be an artist. And then I also hire artists sometimes to help me with my work. Like, my book was, I hired an illustrator, and it doesn't even feel like an imposter. It feels like, yeah, I just appreciate people who can do art, and I will not always be the one that does it, but I love, yeah, I don't know. So there's been a shift in my perspective about art, which has really made a difference.
I love that. And in one way that, you know, when I first met Susie, I love the way that she would phrase, like, what is your relationship to? And so, you know, it could be to our body, it could be to our finances, our partners, our children, but just like that question of, you really were able to transform this relationship, it feels like, with art. And I feel like I feel like it's so remarkable when we remember these sort of one-off statements that, like, how old did you say you were? Like six or something? I mean, like, and you, so you know that's part of your life's path.
Yeah. And I would even be in schools doing designs, and the principals would be really excited. They'd be like, oh, meet Andrea, the artist. And I'd be like, oh, no, you're calling me that.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And it was also like not smart. It wasn't science, right? So I think that was what I was trying to move to. I even tried to get a biology degree to like be a scientist.
Yes. To be legitimate and legitimized. And yes. And I love this period of time we're living in right now, because a lot of this stuff is being broken open. And I think particularly for women, I feel for those of us, and it's not everyone in our community, but I never knew that having social emotional skills and having being able to have great conversations and show empathy and sensitivity and listen, I didn't know those were actually valued skills in life. And it took me a really long time, because I think I was spending so much of my precious energy saying, you're not enough because you can't do math and science. And I love how we are just rewriting these stories and becoming, not just as women, but as humans, just more empowered. So I think this is a little bit like when we talk about your book, how would you describe it? What is the title? And how is this book like that you created, your teacher?
Can I show it to you?
Yep.
Okay. So it's called Ivy the Snail, Find She's Enough.
It's beautiful.
And how has it been my teacher? So the other part of this is I'm not a great writer. And I didn't do the illustration. And I did have an idea when I was a kid. I used to make little books, like kids' books, but I would draw the pictures and maybe write a word or two inside, right? So I always had this idea that I was going to be an illustrator of a book, possibly. So when this one was coming to shape and I wanted to find an illustrator, there has been no like imposter feeling about any of it, because I have Catherine Duren. She was my editor. So she edited the whole book, and she did it. She put her heart, like poured her heart into it. And so she added so much to the book, and the illustrator did amazing with the colors and everything like that. And I just feel like because I'm good at action, I'm good at taking an idea and putting it into form. I feel like it came to me. This isn't unique. Like, it feels like this is just a message that came to me, and I knew I wanted great people to help me make it happen. And I was good at putting it into form. And so in the past, I would have had an experience of feeling like an imposter. Because when people say, oh my gosh, good for you, you wrote a book, I'm like, well, not really. Catherine fixed all my words. And oh, it's so pretty. Well, I didn't do the art, but it's like, thank you. I actually did. I feel like I was this conduit that made it show up. And it's a kid's book, but honestly, the feedback I'm getting from it is it's touching moms more than it's actually for the child. The child likes the colorful pages and things like that. But for moms to read in all, like 26 short pages, that they're enough just as they are, I feel like, wow, it's like a really short book to remind us all we're just enough. And it's been it's like my inner child's journey is this little ivy snail. And the snail, I chose the spiral because the spiral of transformation, you know, in Susie's work. So when it first arrived, my first thought was, I need to look through it for mistakes. And I was like, oh no, I've got all these books. And what if there's a mistake in it? Then I'm not okay, you know? And I found a mistake. Actually, I didn't find it. My son found it. And then I was like, okay. Like, it took me about an hour to really digest it. And then I thought, wow, I don't have to be perfect. That's actually what this book is about. So
it's beautiful.
There you go.
Yes. And we catch those voices of the ones that, like, the old shame voice that comes running in. And it's like, oh, you got here fast. And this is so, right. But then you were able to go through the process of it feels like so much awareness. And I think there's just so many things to say here. I would just re remark too that beautiful that you're getting that feedback from the adults and the messages we need to hear. You know, you and I are probably not too far from each other's age, and I'm finding that people in our age group are waking up right now to a lot of new messaging and a lot of like, oh my gosh, I'm worthy. I can take the time for myself. But I was going to say, for the children, I feel like I don't know how they're experiencing it yet, but I know that the energy, if everything is energy, and you infuse those words with love and intention and just abundance and you know, just these qualities we talk about, like if that's embedded in those words in that book, that infusion is happening. It just feels like on that soul level for the children too.
Yeah, you're so right. And they also might not have the language, and that's could be why they're just saying, oh, it's a good book. You know, they're not going, oh, I'm not going to judge myself anymore. You know, they don't have all that language.
Yes.
But yes, you're right.
It's
Yeah,
the
I feel like it's complete.
you're planting the seeds. And
Yeah.
it's like we know that the seeds can be under that soil. And then with the children really being astute observers right now, like they're going through a transformation of their own. The more of this we can get in their hands, it's like these concepts, right? And so I love how you're have it within your business. Now you've got this conduit of the book. Who knows where this will go? Who knows? The sky's the limit, right? And I love just like this idea of infinite possibilities and reminding one another. And then you're talking about Catherine's brilliance coming through. And I personally love, love, love being in communities where we can so see each other and say,
Yeah.
you're brilliant. And sometimes we say, you're brilliant before that person can say, I'm brilliant. But don't you
Yeah.
feel like we want, like with our sisters and our brothers, it's like I want everyone to be able to come forward and just own their brilliance.
Yeah, that's so true. We can often see someone shining, and it's like, don't you see yourself shining? Like, I can see so much
Yeah.
in you. Something I want to add about the book, at the back of it, there's reflection questions, and one of them is the very first one is, what do you love to do for fun? And the reason I put that in is I was at my mom's several months ago, and one of her friends came up to me and doesn't really know me, and she said, oh, nice to meet you. What do you do for fun? And I actually got like emotional because I was like, fun? I'm wired to be productive. You want to know what I do for fun? Usually it's just what do you do? What
Absolutely.
do you do for a living? And I was like, I don't even know what I do for fun. Can I get back to you? And I cry. And she's like, I'm so sorry. Did I hit a nerve? And I'm like, no, it's just I don't leave myself much time for fun. Again, going back to I'm enough. I'm enough. I'm even enough to have some fun, you know?
Right. Yeah, I love it so much. And again, like she's like this messenger. Where did she come from? Like she comes out of,
I
you know, she comes out of the ethers and like, what do you do for fun? And then it's in your book and how amazing that is. And so do you, I think that I know the answer to this, but what we're sort of going for in life and way, I feel like one of my intentions I've held for myself for a long time is the Maureen who is at her most authentic self, who's thriving, who's laughing, who's having a joyful time. And it doesn't mean that I'm not working with my emotions and inner child, but like just this idea of like heart open. I want to be that with every person in my life. And sometimes I'm not with every person in my life. And so my journey becomes how, you know, what do I need? How do I, you know, how do I go inner to my inner world in order to see maybe an unmet need and where I need to use my voice, let's say. But just that authenticity piece is really important to me. And so I think, I don't know if you ever think of it like this, like across the domains of our life in a way, if we have an area that's a holdout area and we're not, I don't know, we're not being our most authentic, then we're not really show, I don't know, we're not yet shining our authenticity fully. I don't know if I'm making sense.
Yeah.
And I think that
Yeah, definitely.
I heard someone say once, like, the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. And I'm like, what does that mean? And I almost didn't like it because I probably knew that there was a truth in there. But I think that's what I'm talking about, is the way I do one thing is the way I want to do everything. And, you know, and back and forth. So do you feel that way? Like that you also have these through lines, like the Andrea that shows up for work, shows up writing books, shows up with friends, shows up with family. Like, is there an intention you hold for yourself in your life?
Yeah. And it's funny because as my website was developing and this book was coming into form, there was a part of me that was kind of feeling uncomfortable because I thought these are all children's things. And I need to adult, I need to be an adult. And why am I creating all these children things, you know? And we talk a lot about inner safety in the soul care community. And I had to like allow myself to be, let my, I'm a silly, goofy, playful person. And I've pushed that down so much to try to be this adult, you know? And so my expressions happen to be child form things right now. And that liberates me to, like, I just drove home about an hour, you know, an hour ago, blasting music from the 80s in my car. And there's a playful side of me that is showing up that I want to create more safety for, that I've been trying to suppress for a really long time.
I love that.
So
yes, it's so beautiful and sometimes born of who we had to be when we were young people.
Yeah. And another thing is, when I realize, oh no, it's all these kid things and I'm silly and but I'm 50, you know, like, so there was this like judgment on myself. And then I thought, wait a minute, kids' toys are built by adults. Kids'
Yes.
jungle gyms are built by adults. Like, adults make a lot of kid-oriented things. Nothing wrong with that. It's actually, you need to be an adult when you, well, you don't have to be, but so it had me question even that belief, like, oh, I got to do something that looks adult-like, you know? And so I'm slowly feeling like singing is something I love, but I still feel like a little bit of constraint singing freely. And so that playful connection to myself, allowing, you know, my voice to crack or my dancing to be quirky, like, I'm still bringing safety to those places. And so that is definitely my work right now.
Yeah. And it's that process that you're doing, right? Of where do I feel it in my body? Like, you know, something is still there when you're, when you register it in your body, and like just that intelligence also of our bodies. Yeah. I see you. A lot of the things you've shared today, Andrea, I feel like you might not know it yet, but that you are a joy maker and you're a joy creator. And I think it's a beautiful thing, because just so many things you've shared today is, oh, okay. And you know, that it's like, you're putting it right out there, and it's like this close, right? And there's nothing that you've created that's not about joy. And so then are we our last like frontiers in a way, you know what I mean? Where we're gonna do these things and we're gonna do it for everyone else, but maybe not to ourselves quite yet, or for ourselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The last frontier.
So
I love, yeah, I love it. Because, right. And last night we waited out tornado like conditions to see Beyonce at Soldier Field in Chicago, where the Chicago Bears typically play. And we were under shelter in the stadium, like with, you know, yellow tornado skies. And we wait, and it was going to clear, we knew. And so, my gosh, like, talk about even that correlation to, like, you're talking about the creativity and art and the abundance that brings into people's lives, and how any piece of art brings people together. So whether it's the art you're creating to put on walls in schools, and now you're saying like venturing into homes. Wow, how cool is that, right? Because it's just like, I can just see, you know, five kids or three teachers in the hallway, like That's incredible. And it's just, we're in this really heart awakening time where the vehicles you've created are just portals to who we are in our heart space, just that joyful person we came to be.
Yeah. So when you were in that tornado, but waiting for Beyonce, was there like an expansion that you were like, it's okay, this is part of the night, is this
the divine
tornado
plan.
And just,
Yeah, I think that you've named a few things today that are your work. I think that I've had a few places like that's our humans, it's our soul work, but the human level work sometimes, and it's around fear. And I think, even storms or driving in the rain, like that's actually a fear of mine that has become more and more as I've gotten older, trusting last night, having faith. I don't think I ever would have been the person to stay home because a tornado watch was like, it wasn't a warning, it was a watch. Like, let's not be crazy. But I trusted and we got under shelter, and it was kind of beautiful because they kept on saying over the loudspeaker, like, stay put for about an hour. But the people were so calm. Everyone was working together. No one was encroaching on each other's space. It was just, it was as it should be, really. And so, yeah, just to wait it out. Like, isn't that a nice metaphor for just wait out the storm? Because when we, makes me want to cry, like wait out the storm and the sunshine will come and the clouds will part. And it takes commitment to ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, what would you say about that? Like, what has been like the magnet or the thing that pulls you forward to keep on tending to yourself? Because just, do you just increasingly know that it's about you and just creating that safety and that field of non-judgment and just all these beautiful aspects that, you may have yearned for as a kid?
I would say that is where parenting comes in for me. I'm very motivated to keep the place clean, not physically, I'm talking more energetically, for these boys, because I want them to feel safe and I want them to feel expansive. So when I see anything in them that resembles a wound in me, I'm immediately, here's my work, here's my work.
Yeah.
For sure, sometimes the work is definitely coming for me, like directly for me. But if I see anything in them, I know what happens is I clean up my mirror and I see an impact on their mirror. And so they're my people. They're my driving force and my
It's
biggest
so,
teacher.
That's beautiful. And I'm thinking in your process too, is having the safe places you go when you are cleaning off your own mirror, having those safe places, like we really have to say this, that if you're a listener and you're seeking a safe place, I'll just say that yourself, myself, the people we have trained with Susie's coaching, so much integrity and really at the heart of the matter, safety, just such integrity and honor of our individual processes. But I really have found on my journey that having the safe places is, it's just, it's gold. It's, and that I feel like through the, just the portal of mystical sisterhood is like, let's get these messages out here. Let's let people know. Let's, because the work is expanding and the beauty of the work is here for you.
Yeah. And on that line, if you look at our community, there's a lot more women than men. And that is another thing. My husband and I had an argument a few months ago, and I have people I can reach out to, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm struggling with this or whatever it is. And I came upstairs and I thought, I'm going to sit and not reach out to anyone to see what it feels like to be him in this fight. And it was actually really painful. It was like such a lonely place. And I feel like culturally, and that for the health of the world, men need way more support. Men need room to be that safety. We are leaning into it slowly in these places, but I feel like men are, they've been trained in a very hard, keep it all in, stay strong for everybody. And that I find really challenging. Having four sons and, you know, my husband, I want them to find those places that are safe for them.
Yeah, I love that. And it's really speaking to, as a man who is raising a family or even not, trying to break or transform seriously multi-generational patterns that come down about suppressing your needs and, you know, putting yourself aside. I mean, we talk about that sometimes. It's just like, you know, I think because not just in soul care, but in general, women tend to, especially like in their 50s, like what are the things women are, you know, kind of getting out from under? But men are too. Men are too, and there's a lot of limitations and expectations for them. So it's such a good point and just such a call, like a beacon call for men to join in the conversations in groups in and it's funny because, you know, I'm sure Joe will listen to this, but Joe is our beloved, and there have been a few other men along the way in the coaching, but he's like our figurehead, right? And we need more Joes, you know. And
We do.
for real,
I know.
but also I think like turning towards each other as men and women, and I think it's always that curiosity and willingness to kind of go there and see what's there for you. So I love that you shared about that. I think it's really true. Yeah. Andrea, as we kind of like, you know, round out our time together, is there anything I always ask at the end these days if there's any message that is coming through you or to you that you'd like to share and impart to the listeners today? And I love this question because it's not pressure, but it's just like, oh, this is what this is like. An imparting thing that I just want to imprint here.
I feel like what you said earlier about divine timing, even I have been a shy person. So even coming on a podcast is like a first step for me in showing up. And while I want to share things with people and share about my book and things like that, there's a part of me that still needs safety for myself. I still need to take care of myself and take baby steps as
Yeah.
I integrate things and expand. But otherwise, if I just start doing things and putting myself out there a lot, I will get freaked out. So I feel like there's a responsibility we have once we connect to ourselves to take it slow and to really allow that timing to be our own instead of, okay, now you should do this and do it really fast. Like, I feel we don't need to do anything fast. Snails are very slow. And the main character in my book is a snail. And I love that he's got a shell because I was just saying this morning, you know, a shell is a very safe thing. And if you go near a snail and they get scared, they're going right back in their shell. And that's a very
Wow.
smart thing to do.
Yes,
So
yes, yeah.
I feel like we need to honor ourselves and drop expectations of
Love
what
that.
we think we're supposed to be doing and just allow our own speed of our own life to unfold. It's the most gentle way to live, I feel.
Yes. It's a perfect share and kind of ending statement here. And it's for me, and I think it's for a lot of the listeners. And to me, that says, you're okay. You're okay right where you are. And I have that part of me. And she's really, it really is like reforming for me because I really believe that if you are like in this solopreneur space, the first few years of this for me have been so much noise, so much should, you should, and you have to, and pay me for this, and Instagram and TikTok. Like it will make your head spin. And so I love your message because I think as we are moving in to feminine first and the divine feminine, this is what we are being called to honor that because that's a slower pace. That's an allowance of what do we need. It's paying attention to our needs. So I love it. I'm on board. And when you see me needing that reminder, and I'll do the same for you.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Is your book available for wider release or not yet, Andrea?
Yeah, it's for sale in so far Canada, US, and England. I haven't figured out anywhere else yet, but it's on my website. And eventually I may be able to get it onto a more popular platform, but for now it's on my website.
So, I love that. And so that website is called?
Inspirationalwalls.ca.
.ca. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for being here. Yeah. It was a beautiful conversation. Yeah. And thanks to the listeners. And we'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my 1-on-1 coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.